So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask me for a drink, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up an eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Holy One, as we encounter you in your word this day, it is our prayer that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts might reveal your love, your grace to us more fully this day. Amen. For the past several weeks, all of January and this final dismount into the first week of February, we've been talking about the early beginnings of Jesus' ministry, those lessons that he shared with those who encountered him in those first days and weeks and months of ministry. In those lessons, we have found new teachings that offer the possibility for new ways of being in the world. Those teachings and new things that Jesus has been sharing have garnered him followers, have surprised ordinary folks, and have done a pretty good job of making some pretty powerful religious leaders suspicious and angry. When we look back and think about those things that Jesus has done in these beginning days, weeks, and months of his ministry, we might wonder what about them is really all that new. Things like paying attention to those little bits of life that we don't always notice, that we often take for granted. Paying attention even to those people we don't always notice and sometimes take for granted. Things like making sure that parties get to keep going and that there is plenty of wine for the next day. Things like declaring that to stand in the presence of God doesn't require special status. New ideas, like assuring people that questions are good for their faith. For us, as we sit in this room, we find ourselves on different ends of that spectrum, I am sure, of how new those ideas feel. For some of us, they are novel and exciting, and yes, that is a new thing. For others of us, we wonder how anything that was first declared over 2,000 years ago could possibly be seen as new. And we wonder about stories like the one we just read that we've heard dozens of times, how there could be something new dwelling there for us. And we also have our own experiences, experiences of how these stories have already felt true in our own lives. Stories of how God noticed me. Stories of how God provided for me abundantly. Stories of how God invited me in. Stories of how God loved me even when I had questions. And so, with some familiarity backing up all of those early lessons of Jesus for some of us, and for others of us in the newness that comes with them, we come together in this story today at the well. A story where those early lessons of Jesus reach a culminating point in an unfamiliar territory with a group of people who Jesus shouldn't be associating himself with as a Jew, and with a new opportunity. A new opportunity to understand exactly how expansive, how full, how beyond comprehension this new way of being that God provides will be. There are new ways of being compassionate, new ways of being challenged, new ways of being the people of God, and one day in the future, new ways of being church. We see all of these new lessons coalesce today in the Samaritan woman's encounter with Jesus at the well. Now, I don't know that there's a lot of research on it, but I'm pretty confident that there's something about the well at the center of these ancient villages that gives birth and life to the mythos of the office water cooler powwow, the weekend happy hour that we share at the local watering hole with friends, and the goodness that comes from just sitting and shooting the breeze with folks that pass by. The well was a central component of life in those early days. Daily, the people of the village would travel to the well to draw their water. They might arrive one at a time and in small groups, but soon a whole community could be gathered there. Not in neat, organized lines, mind you, but jumbled, disjointed. Not necessarily in a hurry to get anywhere, just kind of enjoying the experience of waiting for your water. I understand that enjoying the experience of waiting is novel in our culture, but I think they were okay with it. And as they were there, they didn't just wait, but they talked. They spent time filling each other in on what was going on in life. They told jokes. They gossiped. They exchanged the latest news. They built community around these wells. And in order for that community to be built, there was one basic rule of thumb, and that is you don't fetch water from the well alone. No. When you gather at the well, it's more than just a source of water. It's a source of life. There's friendship there and caretaking, information sharing. At the well, you discover community at its best. You don't fetch water from the well alone, unless you're not part of the community. You don't fetch water from the well alone unless you're the one they gossip about. You don't fetch water from the well alone unless you're someone like this Samaritan woman. Now, we don't know exactly why, though the later verses of the story offer us ample possibilities to infer why this woman goes to get water by herself. According to scripture, this Samaritan woman had been married not five times, but was now on her sixth husband of sorts, though not legally married. And while it seems that those are not decisions that she made, a life that she chose, while those were elements of survival that jived with the culture of the day, she is the one who comes to the well alone. without friends to accompany her, without children to assist her, without any connection to a wider community. Alone, she comes to the well, ready to draw her water so she can retreat back into her solitary existence, an existence likely marked by shame, alienation, and loneliness. It is here, in this solitary moment, that she encounters Jesus in one of his few solitary moments of the day. The disciples have left to buy food, and Jesus sits by himself at this well, thirsty, and hoping that someone with the ability to quench that thirst will come by. He has no vessel from which to drink out of, and so he waits. And as the Samaritan woman approaches, he kindly requests of her, "Give me a drink." Do you think this woman can remember the last time anyone noticed her? And now, she's garnered the attention of one that everyone will soon be talking about in her town. Not only is he someone who's going to become a celebrity of sorts, but he's a man, talking to her, a woman who he's not related to, completely taboo in the culture. And what's more, he's a Jewish man talking to a Samaritan woman. Jews and Samaritans did not associate with each other for a variety of cultural reasons that had led to deep-seated hatred. And so here she is with this man approaching her, a foreigner, talking to a woman who's been disgraced. She has every reason to ignore and to not engage, but she engages Jesus in this conversation anyway. Do you think this woman can remember the last time anyone invited her to speak? She asks boldly, "How is it that you're talking to me? It's forbidden." And Jesus replies, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that's asking for a drink, you'd ask me for one in return." Her curiosity is piqued. It's kind of compelling. The guy who has no vessel and's been waiting for you to show up, offering you a drink in return for the one you're offering him. "Where do you get that water from?" she asks. "You don't have a bucket. Are you greater than even Jacob, whose faithfulness helped establish this well?" Do you think that this woman can remember the last time that anyone entertained and answered and acknowledged her questions without judgment, without condescension? And so when Jesus explains, "Everyone who drinks this water will never be thirsty again," the Samaritan woman can't contain herself. "Sir," she says, "give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to draw my water from this well again." Because day in and day out, this woman has exhausted every resource at her disposal to survive. She's exhausted every reservoir of strength to make the long, lonely walk to the well by herself. Do you think this woman can remember the last time someone offered to share something good with her? This is a resilient woman who Jesus encounters at the well. A resilient and resourceful woman who encounters a thirsty Messiah. And because he is thirsty, he can sense her thirst too. Thirst for consideration. Thirst for provision. thirst for conversation, thirst for belonging. Because they have encountered one another, Jesus and this woman can both drink deeply now. Jesus crosses gender boundaries, ethnic boundaries, racial boundaries to engage this woman at the well. In engaging her and in her accepting that invitation, she and Jesus dispel the myths of chosen and rejected people. Together, this woman and Jesus overcome exclusivity and build community through inclusivity. All because Jesus cannot fetch water from the well alone. Following her encounter with Jesus at the well, this woman will no longer fetch water at the well alone either. Scripture tells us that she goes back to her village and declares to anyone who will listen, likely people who have never listened to her before, "Come and see. There is a man who has told me everything I have ever done. Do you think he could be the Messiah?" And all because he noticed her. All because God provided for her abundantly. All because God invited her in. All because God loved her, even though she had questions. Because of all this, because of this moment shared at the well, now this woman notices God at work in the world. Now this woman provides abundantly for others. Now this woman knows she is worthy of receiving and extending invitations. Now this woman loves herself and others, even those who questioned her worth and dignity. All because a thirsty Messiah and a resourceful woman discovered in a moment that they needed each other. And so at the well, we find a powerful metaphor for the way that God is connected to us as humanity. A powerful promise for the ways that God calls us in to meet each other where we are. To notice, to provide, to invite, and to accept. When we meet together at the well, with eyes that are open, with hearts that are open, we invite into our lives the change that comes not only with thirst and resourcefulness, but with love and acceptance. We invite ourselves into the narrative and the story, lessons that don't grow old but take on new meaning and shape as we live them out in our world. May we continue to live as people who encounter God at the well, in the church, in the world beyond those places we imagine and know to be familiar to us. Would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, you invite us out into the world where we might encounter you and your people, that we might gain deeper understanding of the power that comes from noticing your beloved, that we might gain deeper conviction of the responsibility that comes with being your people, that we might be excited and energized by the possibility of what it means to drink from the well deeply with our brothers, our sisters, and our friends. For this we give you thanks, O God. Amen.